Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're going to talk about how to grow your audience with email marketing. As most of you are doing today, you're using email as a way to engage and reach your target audience. And today we're going to speak with Tom Tate, who is the product marketing manager at AWeber, about how to grow your audience with email marketing. Tom has a decade of professional experience in both marketing and technology. He educates and engages small business owners and lawyers on the incredible value and opportunity that email marketing and automation provides. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you so much, Guy. I'm so excited to be able to talk about one of my favorite topics, email marketing.
And we're very happy that you're on the show. So before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started at AWeber and dealing with email marketing.
Sure. So I've always had kind of a penchant for writing. So I'm always looking for opportunities to write. And I actually started at AWeber as a project manager for the marketing team. My history was in digital project management. And I came on board and I said, you know what? I think that this team doesn't need a project manager. So my goal is to work myself out of a job. I continued to kind of build up internal processes so that we no longer needed a project manager. And then as I spent less time project managing, I spent more time doing marketing. And that's when I really got engulfed in email marketing and digital marketing and really just doing a lot of writing, a lot of copywriting, a lot of strategy, and working with our customers. So AWeber, we have 90,000 email marketers that use our product, and I've learned from the best. I've learned from actual people using the product. So I'm able to kind of take those learnings and talk to other great digital marketers and share as much as I know with audience like yours and audience like AWeber's customers.
Excellent. So, you know, it's funny because we talk to a lot of marketers in the legal industry, and a lot of them are focused on sort of the new ways to market, right? They're thinking about social media, they're thinking about paid social, they're thinking about Google Ads, they're thinking about content marketing. But one of the things that is still tried and true is email marketing is still the number one way to market yourself digitally. From our experience, that's real. Email really does help you to convert in ways that other channels do not. Do you share that? Is that what you also have seen within your industry?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, when we're thinking about kind of growing our client base, all of the things that you mentioned are very crucial and very important, but I tend to look at a lot of those as on-ramps to getting a potential client into your email ecosystem so that you can begin to build the relationship. So if you think about social media marketing, or if you think about content marketing, or even running paid ads to your website or to a landing page, that's just kind of the introduction to your brand as a lawyer. And it really, it's not until after someone gives you their email address and you can kind of start the conversation that you begin to build that relationship that might ultimately lead to converting a prospect to somebody who could be a not just a one-time client, but a referral engine for you and hopefully a lifelong client as well.
And one of the things that I usually tell people is email marketing is really, you know, akin to permission-based marketing, right? When someone gives you their email address, they're giving you permission to email them information or content that they're going to be interested in. But I think it's really important for legal marketers to understand that that permission can be taken away rather quickly if you start spamming people or if you communicate with them with things that they're not really interested or not crucial to them. So I think there's a real art when it comes to email marketing to ensure, first of all, that you're going to have something of value that people are going to giving you permission to email them. And then making sure that you value that relationship so that when you are emailing them, you're not emailing them junk where they're going to basically take away that ability for you, that permission for you to email them. How do you guys handle that at AWeber?
Yeah, I mean, that is a great point. And I would definitely stress too that because email is permission-based marketing, it's opt-in based. Someone is giving you their email address and saying, I want to hear from you. As marketers, it's actually important for us to look at that as an advantage. Because if somebody's raising their hand and saying, I want information from you, I want to hear from you, they've already kind of expressed that intent that they want to get to know us and they want to learn what we can provide. So it's a lot different than just blindly serving up a Facebook ad and hoping that you got the targeting right, or being on a podcast and hoping that your message lands on the ears of somebody who might be interested. Somebody's actually giving you their email address and saying, I want to hear from you. So a few of the things that we recommend to make sure that you're continuing to send quality information and quality emails is to set expectations right away. So we always recommend in your welcome email, the first email that you send, let people know the frequency that you'll be sending. So if you're just sending a weekly newsletter or a monthly newsletter, let people know. And also let them know what topics are going to be in that particular newsletter so that they can choose whether they want to continue to receive it. And try to keep it somewhat consistent. So if you're a small business lawyer and you've been steadily giving small business tips or specific news related to small business legal information, don't randomly switch that up and start giving something completely different, right? So stick to what your specialties are and lean in on that. And continue to build up an audience that wants to hear from you based on that. And then finally, don't get discouraged if people unsubscribe. I think a lot of marketers tend to get discouraged when they see unsubscribes. That's actually a healthy thing to make sure that the people who are on your list want to indeed hear from you. It is a good thing. It's really the spam complaints that you want to watch out for. So we always recommend making sure that the unsubscribe link is perfectly visible, and in AWeber it's always visible, so you can't really hide that or be malicious with it. But every once in a while, maybe email a segment of your audience who is not engaging with your emails and remind them why they signed up, and actually invite them to unsubscribe if they find that the information is no longer relevant.
That's a great point. So let's go back a little bit. Let's say you're a new lawyer, or you're a lawyer, a law firm that is just starting out or is launching a new practice area. What are some techniques that law firms and lawyers can begin to use to build their email subscription lists?
Yeah, that's a great point. So getting visibility is really important. So getting visibility on your website, or, you know, we use the term landing page, which is mostly just a kind of a single website page with a opt-in form or a sign-up form on it. But one of the things that you'll hear when talking with email marketers is, you know, at the time of this recording, it's the end of 2018, it'll be 2019 before we know it. Try to think of your audience's email addresses as a form of digital currency. And what I mean by that is most people don't freely give away their email address to just anyone, because very few people wake up in the morning and say, you know, I really wish I received more emails today. I really can't wait to receive a ton of email today and go through it all and make sure I can sort out what's important and what's not important. So people are very selective about who they let into the inbox. So I think if you start to think of it like that, what you want to do is you want to develop a piece of content or an offer or something of value. So it doesn't have to be of immense value, but it has to be of value so that it's equal to the sacrifice that someone's going to make in trusting you and giving you their email address. So a lot of people are a little overwhelmed by this idea because they think, you know, maybe 5 years ago it was really popular to give away eBooks or PDFs. And the thought of writing, you know, a 25-page ebook or white paper or some type of document and then designing it and publishing it and hosting it and delivering it, that was really overwhelming for a lot of people. But I think if you're a lawyer and you're getting started with a new practice, just having a quick, like, three automated email sequence, right, where you can automatically drip out three emails over the course of maybe 3 weeks or every other day for a week. If you have something like that and you kind of pitch it as everything you could possibly want to know about X topic, or the top five things you need to know about X topic, what you can do is you can take your expertise, which you have in a specific area of law, and you can break it down into really human readable, human digestible emails, and then drip those out over time. And then you can just have that on your website as, you know, sign up for my email list and you'll get my weekly newsletter or monthly newsletter, but you'll also get the top five things you need to know about X, or whatever's most relevant to your audience or your prospects or the people who are looking to engage with you. So creating a very small piece of content, and it doesn't have to go the PDF route or the ebook route. You can really just have the content be delivered through emails. So writing really short, simple emails that deliver valuable content over time. That's a great way to start attracting an audience on your website to sign up to your email list.
That's really good information. And so you mentioned a couple of things that I think as digital marketers, we're familiar with, but some of our legal marketing friends perhaps are not as familiar. So I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more. You mentioned sequences or drips. What does that look like? How frequent should the drips be? How many drips? And then you also mentioned the word nurture and, you know, nurture campaigns. So tell us a little bit about both of those things. And obviously, these all have to do with automation.
Yeah, definitely. So I did throw a couple of marketing terms out there. When we think about a nurture sequence or an email sequence, it's really just a series of emails that you'll write, and you'll create these and store these in your email service provider. And you'll do this one time. So you won't have to engage with every new subscriber manually. So you'll write, you know, let's say we have a really popular mini course. It's for people who don't know what to write in their emails. So we say sign up for this 7-day email course, and we'll provide you with education on how to be a better writer when it comes to writing your marketing emails. And we pitch that as a 7-day course. So for that sequence, we have one email set to send per day for 7 days. And you can set the sequence or frequency to be whatever you want it to be. So there's a lot of flexibility there in terms of how you want to structure it. And I've seen a lot of marketers, they might do one email every day for 52 weeks. And then you have a full year's worth of engagement. And if the content is what we call evergreen content, which means it's not timely, it's really content that is applicable no matter the season or no matter when it's open. You can set these kind of long tail campaigns just to make sure that you're constantly delivering value and you're constantly top of mind and in the inbox of your subscribers. So when I talk about a nurture sequence or an email drip sequence, I'm really just talking about the ability to set up emails to be sent in advance based on the date and time that the person subscribes. So if the person subscribes today, you might schedule the first email to go out tomorrow.
So one of the things, I mean, this is probably one of the most frequent questions that I get from clients and legal marketers and even business owners or lawyers. How frequent is too frequent, right? They feel like they don't want to email people too often and they're asking, well, should it be once a week, once a month, once a quarter, twice a week? And the answer I usually give to them is it really depends on your audience. But I think the most important part is not necessarily frequency, but relevance, right? As long as the email is relevant to that person, as long as it's information that is to the right person at the right time, I don't necessarily think frequency is that important. I mean, I agree with you. You know, when you start emailing people, letting them, setting expectations in terms of how frequently they're going to receive content is important. But I think more important is making sure that the content is always relevant and it's always something that does not come across as salesy, but rather as educational and valuable. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that relevancy, there's no silver bullet. It's very subjective to your actual audience. And just in terms of relevancy, I think that for email marketers, you know, it's important to consider what source of, you know, I don't love to use this word, but what source of energy are you providing in that person's life and the recipient at the other end of the email, right? So consider that every subscriber you send to is a real human being. So if you send at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., they're going to wake up in the morning and they're going to check their cell phone and your email is going to be there in the inbox and they're going to make a conscious decision whether or not they're going to open it. And if they open it, they're going to read it and engage with it. And how is that email going to make them feel? Like you said, is it going to deliver value, substantial value, or is it just going to be a salesy type of email that they're very probably used to getting from people they don't want to interact with? So they might be very likely to unsubscribe if you send too many of those emails, right? But in terms of frequency, I love to kind of bring up the concept of how people engage with television. So I know a lot of people who are just completely obsessed with daily television shows. So watching Jeopardy, for example, is so habitual for some people that they'll never miss an episode. And that's daily. That's every single day. And that's 30 minutes of someone's life where they're parked in front of the TV and they're watching Jeopardy. And they've committed to that, and it adds a certain amount of value to their life. And you could say the same thing for weekly television shows. You know, Tuesday at 8 p.m., I sit down and watch this show or this program. The same thing for other mediums like magazines. You know, somebody might receive a monthly magazine and read it cover to cover. So in terms of how we consume content, how we consume emails, there are a lot of different examples across other mediums that we can look at to say that any frequency will work for you. If your audience has an appetite for engaging with that type of content in that way. So if you want to try sending daily, as long as you're providing a meaningful experience for the end user, for the human being on the other end, you certainly can experiment with daily. And again, just set the expectations right and continue to deliver value. And if your audience needs that content and you know, again, finds a ton of value in that content, they'll continue to engage.
I totally agree. Another question that we frequently get with regards to email is basically making sure that the email gets open and hopefully it gets clicked on, right? I know one of the things that is important from an email perspective is deliverability. And unfortunately, you know, legitimate businesses who are trying to provide valuable information to a target audience often have to compete with unscrupulous people who are spammers and are just going to basically send junk. So that means that spam filters are becoming harder and harder to get through. What would be some of your suggestions? How can you enhance your deliverability opportunity? Are there certain things in the subject line that you should or shouldn't say? Any other tips or ideas to get through and actually reach your target audience?
Yeah, for sure. So I can give just a couple of quick ones. It's interesting because email deliverability is similar to SEO in the sense that there's so many factors that go into it. And there's so many known factors that go into it. And then there's a lot of theoretical ones. So a few things that I definitely recommend. And this goes for more than just email deliverability, but if you have the ability to send emails from your own domain, so rather than your gmail.com or your yahoo.com email address, be sure to set up an email address with your actual domain, your actual practice domain, or if you have a professional website domain. That really helps just in terms of the presentability of your email address and the professionalness of it. But also it helps you with your sender reputation as well. So you might see increased deliverability with that. The other thing that I definitely recommend, and I would absolutely recommend testing this too. You might be inclined to send kind of a templated email. So something that looks like it was in a design template, has a lot of stock images, stock photos, maybe your logo at the top. A lot of social links, social sharing links throughout it. One of the things I recommend is rather than sending that type of email, test sending a plain style email. So not necessarily plain text, as in the format plain text, but send an email that is more like a personal note or a personal letter. And if you send an email like that, it actually looks a little like somebody just opened up Gmail and sent you a personal email. And we've seen a lot of success with not just deliverability, but also with engagement. When people start to send these types of personal notes rather than kind of the boilerplate monthly newsletter template.
I love it. I think that is so, so important and something that we've been trying to do more and more. So you mentioned the word tests, and that's another area that I wanted to get into. I noticed that your technology has the ability to do A/B testing. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of testing and what different things you should be testing out in order to, you know, have the most success when you're trying to reach your target audience through email.
Sure. Yeah. So the quickest win is subject line testing. You could have the most incredible email, but you know, for someone to actually read the email, they have to open it first. So you have to consider people are getting tons of email every single day. And really the power of your subject line is what is going to engage that reader at first glance and get them to click and open and then hopefully continue to read and engage with the email itself. So testing your subject line is super easy to do. I say it's a quick win because you only have to change one line. It's not like you have to rewrite two totally separate emails. It could have the same email body, but we'll tweak the subject line. I read a really great report recently where I want to say it was from the company SendGrid. They did a lot of analysis on thousands and thousands of subject lines, and they found that four-word subject lines actually won in terms of getting the most opens. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge to write to embrace brevity and write as few words as possible. But I think that that's something we can definitely consider when we're testing is, you know, I can test a four-word subject line versus, you know, kind of an extended, longer subject line. You could test a question subject line versus statement subject line. You know, a lot of people like to test emojis in the subject line versus no emojis. Hmm. So there's a lot of different things that you can test to get the attention of your audience and hope that they click the email and engage and read with it. The other thing we recommend too is preview text. And that is kind of that snippet of text that is either right next to the subject line on desktop or sometimes right below it in your mobile apps. And that's, we call it the pre-header text. It's a little snippet that you can edit. If you don't do anything, if you don't edit anything, sometimes it'll just, most of the time it'll just pull whatever the first couple of words are or the first sentences in your email. That might not always be attractive or enticing. So actually customizing that is something that we recommend doing and testing as well.
Excellent. So you mentioned personalization. You mentioned sort of, you know, being different and testing things out. One of the things that seems to be happening a lot lately is I've been getting, not a lot, but a good amount, certainly more than I have before, a number of emails that have video embedded in it, wherein I open the email, the video starts to play. What's your thoughts on video in an email, both in terms of a personal one-to-one email as well as a mass marketing email?
Yeah, I think video is great. So I definitely recommend if you have the ability to create video. I'll step back. I think really good, powerful videos are great. So if you have the ability to create a very personal and direct video that is going to add value to the conversation that you want to have with a potential client, that is a great opportunity. Email is a great opportunity to deliver that. So a few things to think about with video and email. Most actual email providers will not play video in the email itself. So we have a lot of people who come to AWeber with the preconceived idea that they can put a full video in the middle of the email, and when somebody opens it in Gmail or Hotmail, for example, that email will play in the actual email client. That's actually not the case. So what you want to do is you want to have a thumbnail of the video as an image in the email itself. And then when you click on the thumbnail of the video, link to wherever you're hosting the video. So that could be an email or video host like YouTube, Vimeo, Wistia. There's a couple providers out there. So the other thing that we see too is if you have an animated GIF of maybe like 5 frames of the video or 10 frames of the video, that could be a really good opportunity to encourage the click as well. So there's a little motion in the image there. But yeah, I definitely recommend experimenting with video as well, because you know it allows people to connect with you. You know, they're seeing your face. Our phones have such powerful cameras these days that you can actually take really high quality video on your phone and still have a really strong impact and look professional. So I think it's a good opportunity if you're comfortable being on camera and you're comfortable talking and talking off script. It's a great opportunity to do that. And then email is a great way to deliver it.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have unfortunately run out of time. But before we go, Tom, is there anything that you forgot to mention or any advice that you would have for our audience?
No, this has been a great conversation. I mean, I would just definitely stress that email, if you start to think about email marketing, less is marketing and more of just a great way to build relationships at scale with as many people as possible, whether they're new to you as a lawyer or new to your practice, or if they've been, you know, long-time clients themselves. It's really just a relationship-building tool. Somebody gives you permission to send them letters and messages, and you can send them valuable letters and messages. And if they want to reply back, all they have to do is hit reply, which is a really powerful thing as well. You can start threaded conversations, and those can really go a long way.
Excellent. All right. Well, Tom, thank you for being on the show today. For those of you that want to get in touch with Tom, we will add a link to his website as well as his Twitter handle on the show notes so that you can get in touch with Tom if you want to and ask additional questions or learn more about Aweber. And for those of you that enjoyed the show, if you want to make sure that you don't miss any future shows or if you want to check out some of our older shows, I invite you to go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. And there you can subscribe to the podcast as well as listen to past episodes. Thank you again for being on the show, Tom. And thank you, everyone. And have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving.